I know that it is not a good idea to say something with much emotion before our scripture reading, but today I have to do it anyway, just to say that 40 years ago, beside me stood Tinka, my wife. That didn't go too badly. And I just want to say that I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for that woman. Now it's over, no more. Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Here ends our scripture reading. May God's Spirit guide and lead us as we seek to apply it to our lives today. More than usual, it was difficult to decide which scripture passage to choose for today. You see, ministers are not supposed to be the news. Their call is to proclaim the news. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is and always was a humbling and overwhelming privilege to step into the pulpit and to bring God's message to God's people. After 40 years, I thought it wise to choose the same passage that I did on that first morning after ordination 40 years ago. Our first congregation was a community of about 1,500 church members, making their living off one of the richest strips of gold mines in the world, in the Orange Free State, in the heartland of South Africa. At that time, Tinka and I had neither definite plan nor any idea where the road ahead was going to lead. Little did we plan or expect to near completion of the journey after ministering the gospel of salvation and peace to beloved friends, dear hearts, and gentle people on three continents, in three vastly different cultures, and three very different languages. So I woke up this morning with a prayer, and it was a prayer of gratitude. Give God all the glory. Great things our God has done. It is common knowledge that life in ministry is not always easy. I have learned that a good motto is always to expect the unexpected. It was certainly unexpected to be told this morning we saw you on television yesterday. I was not aware of that. I promise you I had nothing to do with it. Always expect the unexpected. There were a few surprises, and I want to thank each and every one who made those surprises possible. I know you are here, and I know you've worked very hard. I thank God for each and every one of you. My friends, in ministry, there are good days, there are bad days, and I have to add, there are far too often sad days. It's a privilege to serve so many thousands of people through so many years. There's only one little burden that comes with it. You cannot serve without loving. And I cannot help but to think back, and it is literally thousands and thousands of people through the years who encouraged us, who loved us in spite of ourselves, and who gave us the opportunity to tell the old story. I've also learned that it's important to have a sense of humor and never to take oneself too seriously. You know, people love to make up humorous stories about clergy. Let me tell you, I have heard and also forgotten thousands of jokes, beginning with there was a priest, a pastor, and a rabbi. But there's a little revenge here. Sometimes, however, pastors think up little jokes of their own. Now, some clergy say that their congregation's standard prayer is, "Lord, if you would only keep our pastor humble, we promise to keep him poor." But I must say, a favorite of mine is about the pastor who was sick in bed. And after a few days, there was a knock on the door. It was the leader of the deacons visiting to see how he was doing. And with a stern voice, the chair of the deacon said, "Pastor, I've come to tell you that we voted 7-5 in our deacons' meeting to pray for your recovery." The Apostle Paul often talks about his personal faith. Since his conversion on the road to Damascus, his life changed dramatically. He accepted and followed Jesus Christ as the Lord of his life. From that moment on, he would no longer persecute the early Christians, but he would gradually win their trust and eventually become one of their strongest leaders. And through Jesus Christ, the apostle discovered the way to the heart of God. And when he refers to treasure in clay jars, he also describes exactly what the treasure is that he is talking about. He writes, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is a mouthful. It takes time to think this through before you really discover the magnificence of this statement. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness." It's the other way of saying, Creator God. who has shone in our hearts to give the light in the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If ever there was a confession of faith in one single text in the Bible, this it is. And the more you read it, the better you understand it. And finally, you say, wow, what a treasure. We received it without earning it. It is a treasure to embrace, to carry within ourselves throughout our lives, and eventually to pass on to others. Through faith, we have first-hand knowledge of the light and glory of God. There is no treasure greater than this. In biblical times, no household, including those of the poorest people, could do without a clay jar. You see, clay was easy to find, easy to model into the shape of a jar, and to bake in order to make a simple jar. Clay jars had multiple uses: to carry and store water, wine, olive oil, to drink from. And suddenly, after hearing about the treasure and this humble household instrument, a clay jar of old, suddenly everything becomes abundantly clear. Paul is saying that you and I and all followers of Christ are in ourselves as frail and as human as a simple clay jar. I have discovered that truth not once, but many, many times in my life. But the apostle continues, however, God's presence, God's light, and God's guidance give value and purpose and calling. Yes, even to you and me. And this is the secret of all Christianity. This is the good story being told for the past two millenniums. People like us, followers of Christ, are the clay jars, the containers, the holders entrusted with greater treasure than we can even begin to imagine. Treasure in clay jars contains wisdom that is definitely not of this world. It is a summary of what we believe about God and Jesus. It provides understanding about our relationship with God. So just sense the power of this image. We are weak as clay jars. Oh yes, we are. And we are the first to admit it. But we are carrying, by the gift of Jesus, by the grace of God, extraordinary power within us. And that power belongs to God and never to us, whether we are ministers of God's word or not. Faith in God's presence, guidance and power still makes a difference. And I believe it will continue to make a difference in your life as in mine. While many people battle just to cope with the hard knocks of life, we know how to do just a little better than just coping. We have learned in and through our faith that we can change lemons into lemonade. We can live life victoriously no matter what. All of it has to do with our faith to whom we belong. When dark and stormy clouds come and threaten to take our sunshine away, we can and we should literally soar above the clouds like an eagle. The Bible provides us with vivid descriptions of how God's people triumphed over adversity and became more than conquerors. And once again, talking about Paul, Paul knew what it was to have a bad day. If I think of the worst days of my life, there is no comparison with what that follower of Jesus Christ went through. Shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonment, anything that they could dish out, they did because of this man's witness, who he was, what he was saying. However, obviously, Paul also knew a secret. Not only how to deal with being nothing in oneself, but knowing that he carries the treasure of the knowledge of and the faith in God deep inside. Given you are only the carrier, not the creator. Someone asks, as they often do, how are you doing? And we usually answer, or often answer, oh, all right, under the circumstances. And some time ago, I decided I'm never going to say that again. You know, Paul never stayed under the circumstances. He knew how to get on top of them. Whether shipwrecked, imprisoned, and in chains, his life was testimony to the truth that you and I can be victors rather than victims. So what was Paul's secret? Paul knew and understood and embraced the power of God in his own life. His faith in Jesus Christ connected him with the reservoir of God's power. And therefore, nothing that happened in his eventful life was strong enough to crush him. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he not only coped, he also conquered. A bird watcher tells about seeing a bird build its nest in the stormy season. It works patiently and hard all the time, and every time when a storm came, the little bird's home was blown to the ground in pathetic ruin. However, the bird was there as well. It was not mourning over the destruction, it was busily rebuilding. Hurricanes are a part of life for us here in Florida. But you know what? We have learned some secrets the hard way. And nowadays we know what to do before, during, and after the storm. We know how to deal with hurricanes. Maybe it's time to follow Paul's advice of how to deal with the hurricanes and the storms and the pain and the tears in our own lives. Because our faith is all about taking which is useless and making it useful. Taking that which is hopeless and fills it with hope. Taking that which has been defeated and making it victorious. My friends, and that is what the cross is all about. A symbol of shame turned into a badge of triumph. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we know today that the God of Paul is still our God. The power that enabled Paul to soar above the clouds is also available to us. Did you know, I certainly didn't before, that an eagle knows when a storm is approaching long before it breaks? They say that the eagle would fly to some high spot and wait, literally wait for the winds to come. And when the storm hits, it sets its wings so that the wind will pick it up and lift it above the storm. And while the storm rages below, the eagle is soaring above it. The eagle does not escape the storm. It simply uses the storm to lift it higher and higher, because it rises on the winds that bring the storm. When the storms of life come upon us, and all of us have and will experience them, we can also rise above them by setting our minds and our belief toward God. The storms do not have to overcome us. We can allow God's power to lift us above them. And God enables us to ride the winds of the storm that bring sickness, tragedy, failure, and disappointment in our lives. We can soar above the storm. Remember, it is not the burdens of life that weigh us down. It is simply how we decide to handle them. Because after all, we are frail clay jars. But we carry a treasure that will see us through to the end of time. Thinking of the road ahead, one of our most beloved hymns comes to mind. We are yours, in love befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. Keep your flock, from sin defend us. Seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, you have loved us. Love us still. Amen.